Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be covering women's college basketball, guys. I have the Big Ten Championship game, also the SEC Championship game, and all the fireworks there. Also the ACC Championship game, as well as the Pac-12 Championship. Also, I'll be talking about some injury news in the NBA and your players of the week. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And this episode, I will be doing my week 19 recap, guys. A lot of news here. So we will get right into it. This past week, we saw a lot of championships in the collegiate women's game. So we're going to start off there, guys. I want to zero in on four games that took place on Sunday. First, we start with Iowa. Iowa wins their Big Ten championship, beating Nebraska in overtime, 94-89, in a game where Caitlin Clark, she actually got off to a slow start, guys. She started the game 0-for-9 from 3, and she ended up in the first half with 4 points. But as the old saying goes, you can't keep a good woman down. So she ends up in the game with 34 points and a lot of key points in that overtime as well. She would finish with 34 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds, and 3 steals. Fantastic game for Caitlin. And mind you, guys, along the way in the tournament, Ohio State got upset. In fact, they got upset in the quarterfinals. So that kind of cleared the path for Iowa a bit, because you would have had the rematch between Iowa and Ohio State on neutral grounds, of course. But that wasn't to happen, guys. So you have that. And then on the losing side for Nebraska, Alexis Markowski, their center, she had 23 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. And then Natalie Potts, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals. So with that said, Iowa looks like they're going to end up with at least a 1 or 2 seed, guys. Could possibly get a 1 depending on how the committee looks at things. So it looks like Iowa is in a prime place heading into these tournaments. So, of course, we'll see how that goes. Moving on to the next game, one that I caught a bit of, and that was the ACC championship between Notre Dame and North Carolina State, with Notre Dame winning that 55-51 in a game where NC State actually led after 3 by 2 points, 43-41. But Notre Dame was not to be denied. Hannah Hidalgo, this is actually my first game that I got to watch her play. And she was good in this game, guys. 21 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals for her. So Hidalgo, the freshman sensation, leading her team to the ACC championship. So you got to take your hat off to her. And Neil Ivy, the coach over there, doing a great job with that team. It has that team poised at a nice seed going into the tournament. So definitely kudos to Notre Dame for getting it done. Moving on to the prime game, guys. And this was in the SEC championship. South Carolina against LSU. We saw these two battle back in late January, guys. A game where LSU led most of the way and then let it slip away from them in the fourth quarter as Angel Reese got into foul trouble. And in this game, it was pretty much nip and tuck. In the first half, South Carolina would lead by 4, 36-32. thanks to a late run in that first half by South Carolina, namely Malaysia Fulwalli, their rookie sensation over there. And then in the second half, it was just rough. The whole game was rough, to be honest with you guys. We'll get to the little scuffle in a minute. But I think it was incumbent upon the referees to kind of hone in the physical play because there was a lot of it, guys. But in the end, South Carolina prevails 79-72. In a game where LSU was down one of their key players, Lastier Poa, she went down for them in that Auburn game where she had what they're deeming it as a concussion. But she's coming along nicely from all the reports I'm getting. So we hope to see her in the NCAA tournament. So in this game, Malaysia Fulwalli, she ends up with 24 points and 2 steals, thus winning the tournament MVP. And then you have Angel Reese. She finished with 15 points, 13 rebounds on that hobbled ankle that was pretty much swolled up on her, but she toughed it out. Anissa Morrow, 19 points for her, 10 rebounds, 4 steals. And you got other contributions, Flajay Johnson. She had about 12 points. And then you can't count out Haley Van Lith as well. But guys, the real attention is on the scuffle that took place very late in the game, maybe about 2.5 minutes to go, where Flajay Johnson, she intentionally fouls Fulwalli. And then from there, her and Ashlyn Watkins, because she did kind of an aha sort of thing in Flajay's face. And Flajay kind of gave a little shoulder shove. And then Camila Cardoza knocks Flajay to the ground, which sparks both benches to kind of get into it a little bit. So much so that Flajay's brother, who was in the stand, leaps over and comes to the court to try to get at Cardoza. Mind you, Cardoza is about 6'8". And then if you include her high hair, she's probably close to 7 feet. But nonetheless, thankfully, the police there was able to contain him. Yeah, it was just a mess. And, you know, you go on social media and all these kind of places. Angel Reese, she went the other way because she had tweaked that ankle. So she was definitely not getting herself into any kind of fights or anything like that. It wasn't even a fight to begin with, be honest. One player shoved the other player and then everybody just got testy about it. So that was about the size of that. It took a while for the refs to kind of sort things out. And then when the dust settled, they threw Cardoza out the game. And then now she's going to be suspended for the first game of the NCAA tournament. And then the players that left the bench for each side, with the exception of Tiana Paopao, the South Carolina team had their 5 starters plus Paopao, whereas LSU just had their 5 starters that was on the floor at the time. They lost all their bench players, so they had to play the rest of the game that way. And then you have, after the game, Dawn Staley. She immediately apologizes when she was interviewed. She apologized for the team's behavior and so forth, and that she takes accountability for what happened on the court. And then also in the post game, she reiterated what she said while she was on the court there. Whereas Kim Mulkey, she was in her press conference and she basically said she wished that Cardoza would have pushed Angel Reese like that. And basically citing that a player Cardoza's size shouldn't be picking on Flajay and knocking her down like that. Said that should have been between the two players that were jawing at each other and not for Cardoza to be in the mix. Here's what I will say, because a lot of people are killing Kim Mulkey on social media and then on these different shows. And it's funny because, you know, the Michelle Obama slogan, when they go low, you go high. Well, Kim Mulkey, she's not from that school. When you go low, you basically go lower. which is funny because one of the people critical of her, and I love the guy, Shannon Sharp, he was definitely critical of Kim Mulkey for saying that. But he's the same guy who says when they go low, he goes to the basement. So so I got to push back a little bit on Shannon Sharp with that one. Here's what I'm going to say in terms of Kim Mulkey, because, you know, people have come out and they already don't have a great love for Kim Mulkey for a variety of reasons. The strained relationship she has with Brittany Griner. And then also even her as a player when she used to play. She was on a winning team, La Tech, that won all the time. So you have that built in as well. And, you know, her showy outfits and things like that. Here's what I'm going to say. I actually think it's an instance where two things can be true. I thought the way Dawn handled it masterfully, wonderfully. She took accountability for her team, and that was just awesome, wonderful. And at the same time, Kim Mulkey is standing up for her player, a smaller player. And you got to remember something, guys. I think this gets lost in the whole analysis of what Kim said. Kim was that small player when she played. Feisty, so she kind of identifies with Flage in that situation to be a little feisty. I think that gets lost. Kim Mulkey was once a player, and she was one of those players who didn't back down, no matter what the size of the person was. So I think that gets lost in the whole deal. But she was protecting her player. And you know what's funny, too? If this was a male coach saying this, we wouldn't even be talking about it. We would not be going off the rails about it. It's the fact that it's a woman's coach saying this about a woman player on another team who should be pushing their taller player. Again, if this was a male coach saying this, it wouldn't even be a headline. So I think that's the whole thing about the whole situation that kind of gets me to have a raised eyebrow about it. Hey, I stand with Kim Mulkey as far as that goes. You want your coach to be standing with their player in that regard. And a lot of people will say, oh, why Angel Reese didn't go up in there? She had just rolled her ankle, guys. So she is not going to go up there and, you know, start tussling with people. And then you have this crowd that says, oh, she didn't go in there because her and Flage got beef. I mean, come on, guys. That is so far from the truth. And the fact that she had to go on social media and kind of explain herself is what's wrong with social media to begin with. That's my opinion in that regard. So I'll just leave it right where I left it at. So South Carolina gets the win. And of course, there'll be a number one seed, obviously, probably in the South, I would imagine. And in terms of LSU, I bet not see them lower than a 2 seed, guys. They've been tough all year long. All their losses were early in the season. They played a tough conference tournament here, one in which they lost players left and right. They had players with injuries and so forth. So I think the committee should take all that into consideration and get no lower than a 2 seed. I'd be stunned if they get lower than a 2 seed, to be honest with you. That's all I say about that. And then the final game that I'll talk about is the Pac-12 championship, Pac-10 championship. The final game I'll talk about is the Pac-12 championship. From what I'm told, this is going to be the last one in terms of that conference. So it was a contest between USC and Stanford. And mind you, the prior meeting, that's where Juju Watkins, another freshman dynamo, she scored 51 points against Stanford for a win. And in this game, she wasn't so great, guys, but USC got the win anyhow, 74-61. A game where they led at the half by 9, and then they just ended up cruising to victory. In this game, guys, like I said, Juju was off, only 9 points for her, 2 of 15 shooting, and 3 rebounds. But mind you, the prior game, guys, against UCLA, she rolled her ankle. So she was less than 100% in that championship game. She was helped out by her teammates. Mackenzie Forbes had a fantastic game. 26 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. And Mackenzie Forbes, a senior, she's a transfer out of Harvard. So you're talking about going from that situation to the big time here at USC. And she performed very well. Also, you got contributions from Kayla Padilla. She had 13 points and 4 rebounds. And Rhea Marshall with 10 points and 18 rebounds for her 2 steals. And on the Stanford side, Cameron Brink, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 6 blocks, guys. And then Kiki Arifin, she had 18 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. So USC wins that last Pac-12 championship, and this puts them in a very good place, guys. We're looking at a 1 or 2 seed for them. Stanford, I'll be interested to see what kind of seed they get. Probably maybe knocked down to a 3 seed, perhaps. That Pac-12 was very competitive, guys. And for USC to prevail, you definitely take your hats off to them for what they accomplished. So that is your wrap up as far as the championship Sunday goes. We're still waiting to see teams like UConn, what they do in the Big East tournament. Teams like Texas, teams like Oklahoma and their Big 12. Also Gonzaga, you're looking to see what they do in their championship tournament over there as well. So a lot of things still on the line, guys. And more than likely, I'll cover it in the next recap. All right, so with that said, let us turn our attention to the NBA. Players of the week, Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. Guys, he's been on a tear as of late, guys. In fact, he's had a 6-game, 30-point triple-double streak, which is a record in the NBA. So Luka doing big things there. But during this week, he was 2-1. He got victories at Detroit and then at home against Miami. The one loss was against the Indiana Pacers, guys. Luka for the week, 37.7 points per game, 10.7 assists, 10.3 rebounds, and over a steal per game, guys. He shot it from the field, 51.2%. From 3, he shot 38.4. And then from the free throw line, of his 20 attempts, he missed only 2. But Luka, I tell you what, guys. He's putting up MVP-type numbers despite the fact that his team, they are 9 games over 500 as of this recording. They're in 8th place, but they're only 2 games out of that 6th seed, guys. And bear in mind, too, that a team like Minnesota, now without Karl-Anthony Towns, and you got teams above you like the New Orleans Pelicans, the Phoenix Suns, and the Los Angeles Clippers. So if any of those teams were to stumble a bit, maybe Dallas can rise up. But definitely Luka is playing MVP basketball right now. Where his place would be amongst those being considered is tough to say. But he's definitely balling at the right time. Late in the season, you want to see that. So we'll see what happens with Luka and his Dallas Mavericks. In the East, player of the week, DeMar DeRozan of the Chicago Bulls. His team went 3-1 for the week, guys. All their wins were on the road, guys, and as well as the one loss. They beat Sacramento. They beat Utah. They beat Golden State. And then they did lose to the Clippers. DeRozan for the week, nearly 30 points per game, 6.3 assists, and 5.5 rebounds for him. Shot it from the field, 55%. And guys, you know he doesn't hoist up a lot of threes, but he did make 5 out of 14 for the week. And then at the free throw line, out of 27 attempts, he only missed 2, like Luka did. So Chicago, kind of in that bottom rung there. Maybe they can climb into the play-in picture, but they got a lot of work ahead of them to do that, guys. So that is your players of the week. Now let's talk injury stuff, guys. All right, we will start with Russell Westbrook. I had talked about it in the previous recap about the broken hand. He's week to week, guys, following hand surgery, and that he injured on March 1st. For the Clippers right now, Russ is considered week to week, so they'll take it on a week by week basis how he does. I don't foresee him coming back maybe the beginning of April, because Russ is a guy, he's tough as nails. So possibly you'll see a April return for him. We'll see how that goes. And then Scotty Barnes, remember he injured it the same night as Russ for the Toronto Raptors. He's out indefinitely after a hand injury as well. And he had surgery on the hand, so we'll see what happens. My guess for him, they're saying indefinitely, but I think at this point, Toronto probably wants to take a knee on the rest of the season. So I think they'll probably hold out Scotty Barnes. I'd be stunned if he were to return before season's end. Russ, on the other hand, you know, his team is in playoff contention. So I see more of the pressing need for Russ to come back than a Scotty Barnes. That's the way I'm looking at that. All right, so let's continue. Donovan Mitchell of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's been out, guys, since February 28th. He's had that bone bruise in his knee. Perhaps we'll see him this week. Not sure about that as of yet, but I'm sure the Cavaliers want to proceed with caution. The only thing, guys, is that things are so bunched up in the East that you really can't afford to have too many slip-ups. So if I were to gather, perhaps we'll see him this week. We'll see. And then also his teammate Evan Mobley out for at least a week with an ankle injury. So the news gets even worse for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mind you, you had Darius Garland out for a while. He's back now. And then now you're without Donovan and Evan. Cleveland Cavaliers going to have to man the ship until reinforcements are on the way. Let us move on. Bismack Biyombo. And what was a scary situation, guys, for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was hospitalized after collapsing while on the sideline during a March 6th game versus the Portland Trailblazers. Bit of a scary sight. I saw the video of it. No serious medical issues were found, and he was cleared to play, which he ended up doing on March 10th. So in a matter of a couple of days after he was cleared for play, and he ended up playing, guys. So what started as a scary situation turns out, what I would say probably dehydration maybe, that sometimes that can kind of get to you if you're not hydrated enough. So that could be the case here. I'm just making a guess here. But Bismack Biyombo, he's okay, guys, thankfully. So that's a bit of good news. Karl Anthony Towns, I mentioned, he suffered the torn meniscus, and that was on March 4th, and that was versus the Portland Trail Blazers. So he's out for a month, guys. A huge blow to the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are right now in the third spot in the West. They're only about two games up on the Los Angeles Clippers, so definitely something you want to keep an eye out for. Hey, listen, they can't afford to slide down too much. They got kind of a nice cushion beyond the Clippers. So if they were to fall, I think at this point, could they fall out of the sixth spot? It all depends, guys. It depends on the health of guys like Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert. You're going to need those guys to be healthy. And Mike Connolly, you know, you never know with him. He has hamstring history there, so they're going to have to be healthy going down the stretch. So we'll see what happens with them. Ben Simmons, guys, has been ruled out for the rest of the season, guys. And what is being deemed as a nerve impingement in his lower back. So the Brooklyn Nets pretty much erring on the side of caution. They shut him down for the season. Guys, this has been a pretty difficult situation over there. He's only played in a matter of a couple of years, 51 games. I think that was what I saw. That's not good, guys. So with Ben Simmons, the good news for the Brooklyn Nets, coming up is his last year of his deal that will pay him next year $40.3 million. So that money will come off the books following the 2024-2025 season. Would you be able to move that contract? Maybe somebody would want that expiring contract just so they could have that money fall off their books. I guess there's intrigue in that regard. But I think a lot will depend on what he does in the offseason, going into the training camp, the preseason, and into the season. I think at this point right now, I don't think anything will happen as far as him being moved or anything of that nature. I'm talking when the season's over, of course, guys. We'll see what happens. I don't think I can say any more about it than that. But you wish Ben Simmons well. Whatever's ailing him, you wish all the best for him and that he can get back on the court doing something he knows how to do. Let me just put it that way. With that said, let's move on to another Ben. Ben Mathurin of the Indiana Pacers. He's to undergo shoulder surgery, guys. So he's going to be out for the rest of the season. The Pacers, they're erring on the side of caution by having Mathurin. You know what? You got this shoulder thing going on. Let's just shut you down. We're doing okay. We're doing all right. But we need you for the future. So they do the right thing in that regard. He played 59 games for them, averaging 14.5 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. You saw him during All-Star Weekend win the MVP for the Rising Stars Challenge. So you know the promise is there, guys. He shot at 44.6% from the field, 37.4 from three, and then over 82% from the free throw line. So Ben Mathurin, an important piece in terms of the future of the Pacers. So they're doing the prudent thing and keeping him out for the rest of the season. So, well, of course, we wish the best for him as well. Let us move on. More recent injuries, guys. Alperen Sengun, who's had a very good season under the radar for the Houston Rockets. He was carted off with a lower leg injury, guys. MRI is to come, so he's out indefinitely. From the early reports I'm hearing, guys, it's a bit of good news. The MRI looks pretty clean, so looks like he dodged a major bullet. So for the moment, he's out indefinitely. Right now, they're 29-35. They are 4.5 games out of the last playing spot. So tough break for Houston if they were to try and climb. You have so little gains, not much time. Will he be back before season's end? Not too sure, guys. If you're Houston, you definitely want to think towards the future. You don't want to rush him back and things were to get worse. So I say more likely than not, you probably seen the last of Sengun for the season. That's what I would say if I were running the Rockets. And then the final injury I'll talk about, Steph Curry, guys. He suffers an ankle injury. You know, ankle injuries has been his bugaboo just about his whole career. And he suffers one March 7th against the Chicago Bulls. He's going to be out 2 games, and he's actually to be reevaluated on March 12th. Haven't got any word in that regard, so you're hoping that it's minor, it's not anything too serious. And you know they're in the play-in position as well right now, looking to kind of climb up. They have been playing well as of recently. To lose Steph would be a major blow for them. So you're hoping that Steph can get back on the court quick, fast, in a hurry. All right, guys. So what I'll do is I guess I'm going to have to break it up, guys. So I have another bit of news to give you. So we're going to split this up. It'll be a two-parter, guys. All right. So with that said, I'll see you on the other side where we'll have more news, guys. Once again, thank you as always. All things basketball with GD.com. That's the website. YouTube there. All the platforms, I'm there. Leave reviews wherever it's available. Like videos wherever it's available. And, of course, I appreciate every single listener out there. Thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk soon. Take care. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for following and supporting the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. You can find us at allthingsbasketballwithgd.com. Also, you can email us at sportsdudegd@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube, All Things Basketball GD. Like or comment on our videos there. You can follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. You can follow me on all podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple, where you can leave a review. Support us, guys, at my donate page on my website. There I have a Buy Me a Coffee button, PayPal button, and a Spotify button. Also, you can cash at me, $GD, that sports dude. Thanks again for listening, and take care.